Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday night again, and it's time for the Bible study, Words of Wisdom, hosted by myself, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It is a pleasure and an honor to come before you again. I pray that everybody's week went well, and that in your study and contemplating on the things of God, that you were enlightened, and in some cases restored. In other cases, given the ability to want to press on. But it's Wednesday night, and God has orchestrated that and allowed that we would be together again tonight as we explore the Word of God together. You know, always giving obedience first to God, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master, our Redeemer. And thanks, and my thanks to each and every one of you who decided to take time out of your schedule and come so we could explore the Word of God together. Well, tonight our theme is going to be, for the lesson is, no matter what the question is, love is the answer. No matter what the question is, love is the answer. And tonight we're going to be in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. And as always, if someone would like to pray and bring us to the throne of grace, you could press the one button on your phone. And once you press the button on your phone, I'll open the mic and you'll be able to pray over the airwaves. Madison is with me tonight, but he's not feeling well. And I'm asking each and every one of you to pray for him. And since no one has pressed the one button on a phone, I'm going to go ahead and do the honors of going to God in prayer. And y'all pray along with me. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace right now, because there's no other help we know. Heavenly Father, you say it in all things through prayer and supplication, make our requests known. Heavenly Father, I know that you will be with us in this Bible study. And Holy Ghost, I pray that you give the people illumination and revelation on the information that they'll receive tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray for every home that's represented here. I pray for homes that have a desire and say they're going to call week after week but never get around to do it. Bless them and bless all of us, dear God. Some are in the need to have better health. Some have financial blessings. Some people need guidance in raising their children. Some people need to figure out how to have a better relationship with someone. Heavenly Father, some people is asking and crying out within their souls how to be better for you. But Lord, just like the title of the lesson said, no matter what the question, no matter what's the need, no matter what's the desire, no matter what the question is, love is the answer. So dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you be with everyone that come on the program tonight, dear God. Open their ears so they can truly hear what the Spirit is saying. Open their heart that it may be softened and circumcised, dear God. And open their mind that they could receive the things of God and then begin to do it. Heavenly Father, all of these blessings and others, I ask in your darling Son Jesus' name for all of our sakes. And I just want to say amen and thank God. So after after that, we're going to have a song. And, you know, sometime in our life, we feel like God don't really understand. But there's a song that I'm going to play by Sonny Norford. And the song says, you know, that God truly understands. So listen to the words in the song. And once the song is over, we're going to go straight into the Word of God. Be blessed.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told me. I won't forget, nor have I forgotten. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands.
I understand. And we have to realize in our Christian walk, you know, every day is not going to be rosy. You know, not all the time we're going to feel that we're living up to God's standards. But God is saying he know you. and everything that can go on in your life, good, bad, or ugly. He knows it because God is an all-knowing God. God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, and he knows it all. He has all power, and he knows it all. He have all power, and he's Almighty God. And he's everywhere at the same time, omnipresent. We have to keep that in mind as we go through our Christian battle. God never expected you to be perfect, because if you could have been perfect, which Jesus is the only perfect one, then if all of us had an opportunity to be perfect as well, Jesus wouldn't have had to die. We have to realize our job and realize what's not our job. And it is our job to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, trying to be better tomorrow than we were today. But we just got to continue to press towards the mark. Yes, sometimes we miss and sometimes we hit. But even if you fall down, the word of God says he won't let you stay down. And even if you trip up before you fall, he's going to catch you. You know, we have to rely on the things of God, because some of us put too much into the fact that we think we can do it, or we think we're doing enough, or we doing it right, or we have achieved and we have arrived. But I want to tell you that this Christian walk is a journey. It's not a destination. We're going to be learning and learning, and more is going to be revealed, because there's so many things that we is going to know by and by that we have no clue of now, because God say he hides and holds the secrets until he figure it's time to reveal. So we have to do what we got in front of us and do the best with it. And when something else come along that God has revealed to us, we can add it to the faith. But I'm just asking that you be mindful and prayerful and understand where you're at is all right. It don't have nothing to do with where you're going to be tomorrow. But just do your best, and that's all God expects. And whatever you're going through, you're not the only person, and he does understand, as the record said. Right now, I want to go over the prayer list before we get into the program, because the names we call out. On our prayer list, we have Elise Ort. She's waiting to go to surgery. Please pray for her. We have Barbara Hawkins that's receiving treatment, and she needs your prayer as well. And Sister Diane McBride, I know all of y'all know her name, but you know something? That's a very smart lady, because she believes in asking for prayer of the brethren. You know, some people on the line might need prayer in a certain area and won't even ask for it. The Bible say those who have not, because they ask not. And how in the world do people believe they could get along without having prayer? Well, you probably can, but it is so much better to have the prayers of the brothers and sisters in Christ to help you along. And it's a smart thing to ask for prayer. I have Daryl Terrence. And we all know him by Big D. Continue to lift him up in prayer. Gladys Phillip, lift her up in prayer. Bonita Washington, Cynthia Sanders, Henry Lafayette. And about 2 weeks ago, the young lady called on the line and she spoke that she want to be better and she want to do the things of God, and she asked you guys to pray for her and her son, Cain. And the week after that, she was robbed and beaten badly. And she needs your prayer. And she's trying to raise her children in the right way, but it sometimes seemed like a struggle. But just like all of us had to learn, we have to keep going. But her name is, we call her Nunu, and her baby name is Cain. They need your prayers. She's healing from the beating. It was a bad beating. And everything she had with her, even her automobile, was stolen from her at that time. So please pray for her. And then we have Brother Paul Brown. We asking that you pray for him. And when I ask you to pray for people on a prayer list, you should always include their families that's going to be working with them and helping them and taking care of them. Because, you know, the Bible says there's a lot of people that's willing, but they're not able. And some people are able, but they're not willing. But when God can connect the dots and people who are going through things have loved ones around them that don't mind and want to take care of them, you know, and day after day, if they're rendering that service, it is not an easy task. So in your prayer for these people, pray for their family and their friends and anyone that's going to support them, that they continue to do it. Because, you know, sometimes you get sick and everybody show up. And as you, if you stay sick long enough, you know, the crowd thinning out. But I'm just asking that when you pray, pray for them and their family as well. And we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson right now. Some more people called. Oh, and I forgot about myself. Most of you guys was on the radio, you know, been with me for over a year. And you remember last year around this time, I went to the National Institution of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, to have tests because they had I had a tumor on my pancreas. And I went to the National Institution of Health, and they did tests, and they did a surgery, and now it's a year from the testing. And on Sunday, I have to go back to Bethesda, Maryland, for them to do the one-year checkup. You know, I was blessed. I had a tumor on my pancreas. They did the test. It was a tumor. They did a surgery, and my prayer to God was to let it be the less invasive surgery that could be done. He granted it. I asked that I could have a caring and one of the best doctors. He granted it. And I asked everything that I asked for. He did it. You know, it didn't. You know, the tumor was dead, and the doctors here said that it was cancerous, and they told me that with a biopsy. But after I had the surgery in Maryland and everything, and they took the tumor out, and they, you know, inspected it, and they said there's no cancer. So I didn't have to take radiation or chemotherapy, and the doctors told me, we see you later. And we're going to let you come back in a year. Well, the time is now. I leave Sunday morning at 7:40. I need y'all to lift me up in prayer. And I'm already thanking God for the outcome, that everything is going to be all right. But I wanted to share that with you guys, because on next Wednesday I won't be able to do the program because I'm leaving Sunday and I won't get back to next week. So y'all be prayerful, not just for me, but everybody on the list, and not just the people on the list, the people in your lives that ask you to pray. Because, you know, sometimes people ask you to pray for them, and you say, yeah, but you never do it. Come on, y'all know who I'm talking about, because I have done it. You know, or somebody is going through something, and you say, well, all you could do is pray for them. You make that statement, and yet you don't pray for them. And I'm not talking about y'all, I'm talking about me, because I have done it. But I try to be more conscious now. I try to do what I think God will want us to do. So keep that in mind. And, you know, it's always good to pray for somebody else. You know, because many of us, we wouldn't have made it through if somebody wasn't praying for us. Because it was time in our lives we wasn't giving a good tahoot about God or the things of God. We was doing it our way. How we want it, why we want it, when we want it, if we wanted it. But somebody was praying for you. And it is your responsibility to pray for somebody. So keep that in mind. Keep the prayer list in mind. And keep me and everyone else in mind. And we're going to go ahead with the lesson now. I see some more callers have called in. The title of our lesson is, No Matter What the Question Is, Love is the Answer. And we're coming from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. And as always, I like to give a little bit about the something about the author of the book or anything like that. And since we be in so many of the letters that Paul wrote, you know, Paul wrote 13 epistles, and an epistle is a letter. And Paul was writing the letters to the different churches that was established after the day of Pentecost. You know, everybody was in Jerusalem at that time, and God, being so wise, decided to allow the church to be established on the day of Pentecost. And that's when the Holy Ghost was let loose and became a effective agent of God for his people. Because God, Jesus said, when I leave you, I won't leave you by yourself. He said, but when I'm gone, the Holy Ghost is going to come. He said, and the Holy Ghost is going to seal everyone that believe in me. He said, and the Holy Ghost is going to do everything for you that I would do if I was still there. So Paul wrote these letters because the people were in Jerusalem because they had went to a feast that was mandatory by God. So all of the Jerusalem, no matter where they were around the country, came into Jerusalem on that day. It's amazing how God always let something happen when everybody was assembled. He's smart like that. And so when they had their church service and all of the people, they say 3,000 at one time and 5,000 were saved, all of those people went back to their hometowns. They went back to Philippi. They went to Corinth, which is our lesson is for the Corinthians as the people. The city was Corinth. They went back to these places and they established churches. Some of the churches was established by Paul. So Paul couldn't be in all of the places at all of the times, but Paul would sometimes get a message about the church. Either it was doing good, it was doing bad, or it was very ugly the way the people was conducting themselves. So Paul would then write a letter for correction and error to these different people at these different churches. Tonight, the Apostle Paul founded the church in Corinth. A few years later, after leaving the church, the Apostle Paul heard some disturbing reports about the Corinthian church. He had established, he was going about his journey, doing other things, establishing other churches, but he heard word about this Corinthian church. They were full of pride and were excusing sexual immoralities. Spiritual gifts there were being used improperly, and there was a rampant misunderstanding of key Christian doctrine, which is love, the very nature of God. The Apostle Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians because there's Corinthians 1 and there's Corinthians 2, and this is the first letter. Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians in an attempt to restore the Corinthian church to its foundation, Jesus Christ. Do you think some churches here in our United States or our city or our parish or our state, you think some of them need a letter that they need to be restored to the church foundation? And, you know, sometimes we look at the church and we think, how could it be in the condition that it's in? But look here, the church in Corinthians was formed after Jesus had died. Most of the people in the church had heard about Jesus' walk, teachings, miracles, death, burial, resurrection. And many of them had experienced it. And yet Paul had to write a letter to them so many few years later. Think about it. Man has been deteriorating from day one. And if you're looking for it to get perfect, it won't happen. And if you think it, you know, it should be better, and it really should be better. But this here lets you know. It's mankind. You see, Paul at one time thought that his love for God, which was so great for God now, I didn't say Jesus, his love for God was so great that he had to avenge by any means necessary anyone or anything that tried in his mind to take the place of God. You know, they had start believing, some had start believing that Jesus was the Messiah. Paul teaching in Judaism didn't allow for that to be accepted. So he went out beating and some places martyring and killing people that believed in Jesus because he thought that was blaspheme against God. But oh well, once Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, he understood the true meaning of God's love through his son Jesus Christ. Paul's life was changed. And Paul knew the law. He knew the law up and down, back and forth. But now he understood love. And that true love, come on, watch this, y'all, and ponder on it. True love fulfills all of the law. No matter what the question is, love is the answer. Paul began to spread the word of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and that he was the true Messiah. Paul also taught that this was ordained by God from the beginning for the remission of sin towards all mankind. Paul walked in the law, but after seeing Jesus and meeting Jesus, he began to walk in love. And after we have met Jesus in our lives, we also should begin to walk in love. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3. Now watch this. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a chimbling, a clanking cymbal. And if I have poetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, you know, that's giving your body as a sacrifice to be burned on the altar. You do that because, you know, you feel it's what to do. But even if you do that and give your body as a sacrifice, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinthians to straighten out their errors. He's trying to teach them as he had learned that no matter what the question is, love is the answer. You see, Paul is letting us know that no matter what we do or who we are, if love is not the driving force, it profits nothing. I believe that everyone loves someone, but can they extend that love towards everyone? You know, it's easy to love who you want to love. The true test of love is when you love somebody that don't love you, or when you love somebody that has done you some things that really hurt, or when you love somebody just because and don't even know them, but see the need and the love that God has granted you, you extend to others. You know, that's the true test of love. The Bible indicates that love is from God. In fact, the Bible says God is love. Love is one of the primary characteristics of God. God is all love. Love, God does love, but God is love. That's why he do everything in love. Likewise, God has endowed us with the capacity for love. You know, since we was created in his image. You know, I know you guys always see we were created in God's image. We were created in God's image. What he's telling you, that everything that he is, he has allowed us to partake in it. And his image is for us to, you know how some people say, I can see the Christ in you. I can see the God in you. Because you're taking on his image. So since God is love and he created us in his image, we also have the ability to love, to truly love. But all of us don't choose to do it. The Bible in Romans 13 and 8 says, we owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loved one another has fulfilled the law. Watch this. You know, people get confused and they say that Jesus abolished the law. Jesus said, I ain't never abolished the law, and I didn't come to abolish the law. He said, but I came to fulfill the law. If you look at, the Ten Commandments, and that's just some of the law because, you know, they had 635 of them. But, you know, when you see the Ten Commandments, love thy neighbor. You know, anyway, Jesus broke it down to just two. You know, they had 10 in Acts, which was the greatest. And Jesus said, I give you the two. And the two really took in all 10 if you're smart enough and just see it. Because the first four commandments in the Ten Commandments was us giving love towards God. The next six commandments in the Ten Commandments was teaching us how to love one another. Come on, y'all. So when Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, you see, that take care of first four. No other gods, you know, don't use the God name in vain, blah, blah, blah. That's the first four. Then the second six, do not murder, do not covet, do not steal. That's telling you how to love one another. You see, but they say you don't owe no man, but if you really love him, you're going to fulfill all the law. Not abolish it, but fulfill it. For us to understand the kind of love that Paul is talking about, we must first look at the greatest examples of true love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed would not perish. That's love. That's agape love. And then John 15 and 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's love. And watch this. It didn't say just his family, only people that are nice to him or people who they think can do something for them. You see, love is a strong feeling of affection, and it should be concern towards another person. Love is also a feeling of devotional and admiration towards God for all that he has done and is doing and promised to do. So you might ask me, Sister Diane, what is love? Everyone seemed to believe that love is a good thing. Oh, they use it so haphazard. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. However, not all agree what love is. Is love the warm, touchy feeling a person has when he is with someone he's familiar with? According to the Bible, love is caring in action. You know, a lot of people say they care, and it's only words. They have no actions behind it. They know somebody is sick and could take a visit. Come on now, y'all. They know a child is maybe hungry. But you see, plenty of times they say it's not their problem. And some people is, you know, I don't fool with people. I don't get in people's affairs, and I don't do this. And, you know, when you keep saying I too many times, you need to look up because something is wrong. Love isn't what we feel, but it's what we do. There are many gifts that they was talking about in the verse. You know, you could do all these things in a gift that has been given to us to carry out our purpose in kingdom building. That's why some are teachers, some are preachers, some are evangelists, some are whatever. God gave these gifts so that the body of Christ could be effective. But it was a gift. And we may be able to give us this gift that we could do it well. But if love is not the center, it's gaining nothing. Y'all know they got some people in the church, and they might know the word of God, but they treat people so badly. They speak to people bad. They act bad. They start up commotion. They bring in discords, you know, because love is not in it. Whenever we do or say something, that's why God looks at the heart. People can say anything on the outside. Because, you know, the Bible says, we had just a couple of weeks ago, James said, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brother, he said, these things ought not to be. But they're there because there is no love. You see, and if we look back in the history in the Bible, when Cain made his sacrifice unto God, he made the sacrifice. But it must not have been given in love, and it wasn't from his heart. And God didn't accept it. The Bible don't clearly tell us why God didn't accept it, but we know he didn't accept it. We must be careful how we use the things that God has entrusted to us for his service. Love is more important than all of the spiritual gifts exercised in a church. Yeah, you might could speak in tongues. You might could teach a good lesson. You might could preach a good sermon. You might be a good usher. You might be a good deacon. You might be a deaconess. You could be all of that. But how many times you see people in these positions and they just act like hell is all in their mind? They're always speaking negative. They're always talking negative. They're always acting negative. They don't agree with nothing. And whenever they have the opportunity, they're trying to bring someone or something down. No love. You see, you could have great faiths and acts of dedication or even make sacrifices. You might have the workings to be able to produce a miracle. But if you could do all of these things and you don't love, it don't count. You think God's going to let them do all of that and then treat people any kind of way, and then when they go to the judgment seat, it's not going to, you know, matter? God looks at the heart. And besides that, there is no reward. God give you this gift, you give it to others, and God say your reward is there, because Jesus say, I'm coming back with the rewards in my hand. But you see, and God also say, some people is going to say at the end, Lord, 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 and what God going to say? I don't even know you. Because you say one thing with your mouth, but you act a different way all the time. You see, love is what makes our actions and gifts useful. Even if you give up your body to be burned, as the scripture said, and you're not doing it in love, it gains nothing. And a prime example of people who did things, knew things, and was in high places and high class in that time was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, in the Old Testament, they knew the law from front to back, then back to front. Come on now, they knew it. But they didn't know how to love. And Jesus called them hypocrites. Jesus, y'all, is our example as to how to put our love in action. And remember, no matter what the question is, love is the answer. And we're going to read the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth verse. You see, what it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. You know how some people do something for somebody and they can't wait to tell the world? Come on now. And God said he arranged everything that no one would have the opportunity to boast. See, so when you boast and you're trying to make yourself look good, and God said when you do something for somebody and you're trying to make yourself look good, then you already got your reward. Because if you're trying to do it for man to look at you and give you accolades, then you best get your reward from man. Because God said, I'm not going to touch that. Hallelujah. Remember that. For say, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. You know how some people have to do things for you, have a boss that's arrogant? They're arrogant. They're not walking in love. And they may also, as 5 say, be rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoice in the truth. Love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. It never ends. As for prophecy, watch this. It will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. And as for knowledge, Paul is letting you know all that's going to pass away. Because you see, he's going to tell you why. But see, that's going to pass away. Because it's needed here for this kingdom, but not for the other kingdom. Hallelujah. So it's not going to go with you in the other kingdom because there would be no need for it. But you see, love never ends. And the other kingdom is built on love. And how you say that? Because God gave his son, and his son gave his life. Hallelujah. For you, the foundation of the kingdom. One of the foundation, which is love. You see, love is selfless, not selfish. And it's always concerned with the welfare of others. Love has to be given a way to work. You must first learn to love yourself, because you can't love somebody else. How can you love someone else if you never learn to love yourself? And that's the problem with so many people in the world. They don't love themselves. They don't know who they are, because you can't know who you are until you figure out who your maker is. You see, love is patient and kind. It manifests itself in being forbearing and having a capacity to endure difficult or trying circumstances without giving way to complaint or resentment. You know, sometimes you just don't know. Love is for you. Just like everything God have in that Bible, if you take on the spirit of love, if you take on the mind of love, your life will be so much easier. It will keep you from being, why me, or this shouldn't be, you know, be happening to me. And I could just tell you, if not you, then who? Love gives way for endurance. It's not jealous. It don't work with envy. Love is not given to self-praise. It has no boasting and bragging. It don't try to make you feel superior. You know all these superior people, you know, and they could be using the gift that God gave them for prophecy or tongues or something, and then they're going to put themselves on a pedestal because they're superior. But remember, it's a gift. They didn't do nothing. God gave it, but he gave it for the body of Christ. And they are misusing, and that's what was happening in the Church of Corinthians, and that's why Paul wrote this letter. People have a tendency to always tell a story the way that makes them feel better to fit their ego. Come on now, y'all know how people tell a story. Girl, let me tell you what happened, and they put stuff in it and make it sound good. Everybody's done it. everybody. Well, I ain't going to say everybody, but I'll say that's, you know, it has been done. And sometimes you could catch yourself telling a story and you exaggerate it maybe a little bit because it makes you sound better. You know, that's just like when somebody have an accident. They go, even if they got the ticket and it was wrong, they're gonna tell it a way that the other person did something equally as wrong, if not all the way wrong, and then they was, you know, unfairly judged. You see, love deals with the truth, and the truth is what makes us free. Love has nothing that caused one to look down on others. A loving person is not puffed up or swollen with deceit. Love doesn't put on airs. You know how people say, you know, oh, you know, I like you because, you know, you keep it real. See, when you loving on everybody and have love in your heart, you're not picking and choosing, and you're treating everybody the way they should be treated, the good, the bad, and the ugly. They might not be in a good place and even deserve the love you giving to them. But who are you? God said to love. When God sent his son, did you deserve it? When he took away your sins, did you deserve it? But you could get at, you don't want to be on the receiving end, and God could do all these things for you, and yet you're going to decide who and when and how you want to do it towards others. You see, true love allows people to see the real you. You see, true love congratulates, and it don't hate. We have to remember that. And if we look at verse 9, 10, and 11, and 12, it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. But then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have fully known. What's Paul saying? Paul say, you know, now, even if we prophesy, we're going to prophesy in part. Because everything that God has not been revealed. God revealed things in his own season, for his own reason, for his own time. There'll be mysteries in the Bible. They say we could never know, understand, achieve, or even be told until we get on the other side. Because that's why they say we're going to understand all things by and by. See, what you got now is part, Paul is saying. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. He said, now, this is Paul saying. He said, now I know in part. Then I shall know fully. He said, when it has come to pass, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Paul said, I ain't got it all now, and you ain't got it all, and I ain't got it all, but we got to work with what we got and do the best we can. God says some things he could pass out to the world. It don't even make sense, because in our slothful state, we couldn't even comprehend it. It will be of no profit, because the hearts and the minds of man is directed one way. And if God showered these things down, you'll miss it. Because, you know, we haven't taken the time and do all we could do with what we got. You know, we read when we study when we get ready. We read when we get ready. We pray when we get ready. We go when we get ready. It's just what it is. You see, the full revelation will come at a future time. And whatever is partial now would then come to an end, and we would understand it better by and by. See, some things that we learned in part, but as we study, we get to get the fullness of it. You see what I'm saying? So the more you put in, the more you're going to get out. He said, you know, when I was a child, I did all these childish things. You see, we, when we know better, we should do better. Because, you know, this is one thing that is so true. Change is inevitable. Change is going to happen. But growth is an option. The commonly used, that thing he said, like you look in a mirror and it's dimly. See, back then, they didn't have mirrors. They used metal for mirrors. And, you know, if you looked in that metal, you couldn't see things clearly. So what Paul said about that, he said, when he looked in there, see right there in verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly. He was talking about at that time, they had metal. They didn't have mirrors, and they saw dimly. He said, but then we're going to get with him face to face, and we'll see everything more clearly. You see, he's talking about when the Son of God returns in his glory, all that is partial will give way to that which is complete. We ain't going to need no prophecy, because the prophecy is going to be fulfilled in a son. Come on now. We ain't going to need to speak in tongues, because we're going to be in our heavenly place, and we're going to be in our heavenly home. Come on, y'all. So all of this going to pass away. So why take something that God has given you like a gift and flaunt it around like you have arrived? Paul said, if you don't use love, it values nothing. He said, when the Son of God returns in his glory, all that is partial will be given, will give way to that which is complete. You know how we say all these things of the world is temporal, so you got to watch out if you're looking for lust and you're looking for love in the wrong places and you're looking for prestige and you're looking for, you're very greedy. All that's temporal. That's, you know, it's going to pass away. You know, but when he come, he's going to be complete, making it possible to know fully or to perceive as one does when it sees someone face to face. You don't have to hope for something when you see it. Hallelujah. And this is what he says in 13, the last verse, and we're going to close. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. You see, this scripture let us know how important love is. Whereas the apostle had indicated that the miraculous gifts would cease. You know, he told us that, right? Tongues, prophecy, all of that gonna cease. But faith, hope, and love will remain. An improved relationship with God and Christ continue to rest on faith and the fulfillment of the divine promise is yet future, making hope essential. You see, faith relates to the things we cannot see. When that which is yet unseen becomes tangible, it becomes real. Faith in connection with that particular aspect is no longer needed. See, faith is the substance hope for and evidence of things not seen. But when you see it, will you need faith? Hallelujah, y'all, come on now. Faith or trust finds its fulfillment through sight. Hope is realized when the hope for objects becomes into one's possession. that's when your hope is realized. You know, I hope to get a new dress next week. When that dress come in, I ain't got the hope no more. And a lot of Christians say, I hope to be saved. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. When Jesus come back and get his people, you ain't got the hope no more. Because it's going to become real. It's going to be fulfilled through sight, because we'll be able to see it. You see, in relation to the objects that we are hoping for or having faith in, faith and hope are the subjects to transformation. See, we're going to be transformed into something else. Because, you see, the hope is going to be realized. The faith, the things that was invisible, become tangible, and now we could see them. So what's left? Love. However, it's constant. In the case of love, sight and possessions do not produce the kind of change that is associated with faith and hope. Love is constant. This makes love the greatest of the three. God is neither faith nor hope. He is love. And because of God, we have faith and hope in what God has done and doing and promised to do. But God himself is love. This is the attribute that is the manifestation of his complete identity. God is total love. Come on now. When God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites, that was love. Come on, y'all. Come on. God is true love. You know, and then he wanted to redeem his people back here to him, because they had got a bridge had been built between his people because of sin. Come on, y'all. And God sent his son. Now that's love. And Jesus decided to go to the cross and die, you know. And he said, no one can take my life, but I surrender it. Come on now, y'all. Paul is letting us know that love never fails. All our gifts, prophecies, tongues, knowledge will cease. And you must remember that no matter what the question is, love is the answer. And only what you do for Christ in love will last. And that's the lesson for tonight. It is now 9:28. And if anyone would like to make a comment, pray, sing a song, you know, to do anything, you know, you may do it at this time. You know, God put opportunities in all of our ways to share the word of God. You know, and we know people are shy and people, you know, hold back for whatever reason. You know, and sometimes they have a question and they won't ask it. But, you know, this is our Bible study. You know, and I wish it would get to the place one day where we could all just get and just have a little talk together about the things of God. You know, and sometimes we could be going through something and God has given this forum. So, you know, sometimes you figure you're the only one going through and somebody will tell a story and you understand that you're not the only one. And sometimes you'll realize that what you're going through is not as bad as you thought. You know, and that's the reason when brothers and sisters in Christ come together and share, you know, different things in their life. But I want to tell you this, you know, I was struggling a little bit when I was doing this lesson because I said, you know, I don't know if I love like I should. I'm talking about me. And I kept contemplating and studying and looking and seeing other things. But, you know, because sometimes I do things for people, and at the time I may not really feel like doing it. But, you know, the Holy Ghost let me know. He said, Diane, you may not feel like doing it, but, you know, most of the time you do it. So he was telling me that it wasn't predicated on me of how I'm feeling. It was predicated what God has put in me. Because if you have love in you, it's going to make you do things and work for others that maybe don't deserve it, or be patient with others that seem like they can't get it right. You see, love is a characteristic and a gift and what God has put in us. And like everything else, if we don't use it, we'll lose it, and we don't realize we have it because we're really not always willing to exercise in those areas. But God, you know, the Holy Ghost had a talk with me, and I want to do better. You know, I want to do better. And he said, but think about it. I might not always feel like doing it. And then to me, I was looking at it as bad because somebody asked me something, I should be jolly. He said, no, my niece told me. She said, you are only human. And we are emotional creatures, and we may not always feel like doing it. But the Spirit said, but when you get up and you do it, that's love. So I understood a little bit more. I couldn't bring you the program like I wanted to. But now I understand the love of Christ that he has bestowed upon all of us that is in us. And it's our job to operate in it. But some people don't think of nobody but themselves, or just those people in their household. God said, if you're going to do like that, you ain't showing me nothing. He said, because heathens take care of heathens like that. He said, a wine head, he didn't say that, I'm throwing this in. A wine head, all of them staying under that tree, they meet up at the right time, and they come together, and if they got one bottle, all of them get some. Come on now. But when it comes to the body of Christ, you know, we want to pick and choose. I have a caller. Caller, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hi. Hi, Sister Diane.
Yes, baby.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, I just wanted to mention about love, that's exactly the way I feel about it. It's when you really don't want to be doing for other people, but you're staying in there and you're doing it anyway because you know it's the right thing for them. And you just
keep doing
it, you know. And when you're doing for other people, that is love. You know,
that
so
is
if
love.
You know, if you're doing for other people, and it doesn't have to be directly in your family. It can be outside your family because love touches other people will just make Jesus grow. That's all I can say, you know.
And that's what
so
it does.
I really loved your sermon tonight. It was really good. Thank you.
I thank you so much, Sister McBride. And we're going to keep praying for you. And I know you're praying for each and every one of us because you're a prayer warrior. And I'm glad to have you in my life because I know you're praying for me and my children and my family and Monday night Bible study and Wednesday night Bible study because that's who you are. You are a prayer warrior. And because of that, I say thank you. So keep doing what God is asking you to do and don't. Just do your best, and that's all God asks.
All I can do. Thank y'all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment or do anything or say anything or sing or pray? If not, it's 9:34. Is that 9:34? So we 4 minutes over. So since no one else have anything else to say, remember I won't be on Wednesday because I have to go back for my physical. And if by chance I get back in time, you'll know if I'm coming on if you get a notice. But I don't know exactly when I'll come back and how it'll be. So next Wednesday we won't have the thing. And then the next Wednesday I will be with my class reunion on a cruise. So we might miss two Wednesdays. Because I leave Sunday, I come back in town, and then I leave next Sunday, and I'll be on a cruise. So we might miss two Wednesdays, but I'll inform you guys, and I love you guys. And I'm going to go ahead and do a benediction tonight, and we're going to end tonight's lesson. And I just ask that each and every one of us do as the scripture in 2 Peter 3:18 says, I ask that you grow, the Bible says, not I, but I as well, that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All we are asked to do is grow. And that's our lesson for tonight. And let the church say amen. And whenever God see fit, we'll be back together. I love you guys. God loves you. And I pray for you, and I ask that you pray for me. And pray for Madison. He's not feeling well. And we'll be back. And Madison is going with me on the cruise. Me and him leave every April. That's my little cruising buddy. But I love all of you guys, and God be with you until we meet again. Good night.